Thank you all for being here, and thank you for all those who had a part in our service this evening as we lift up the name of Jesus and enjoy the company of fellow believers. As we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount and talking about this sermon and discussing the impact that this sermon should have on our life, we now reach another point where it's a conversation that we probably we don't have enough. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30, Jesus says this: "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." This is a strong message of a statement that Jesus is making. In fact, we probably don't like hearing what he has to say with how we're supposed to respond to sin. So often we have the conversation within the Christian community, the conversation of sin of commission versus sin of omission. And tonight I want to give you a thought that the reason why there is an issue with sin of omission is because it is what the sin becomes is a sin of commission. You see, when you allow temptation into your heart and into your life and into your mind, you allow it to take residence inside of you. And eventually, it is going to lead to the fulfillment of that sin. That's why the Bible is very clear that we need to confess our sins one to another. Why? Because we receive the rebuke that we need when we confess to one another the issues that are inside of our hearts and in our minds. Now, I know in our day and age, so many times I've heard the conversation that, oh, the devil made me do it. Really? You know, that is such a weak argument for when you fall into temptation. Because if you had done what the Bible tells you to do and fled from the temptation to begin with, the devil couldn't make you do anything. You have a choice in all of this. And Jesus identifies to us where sin comes from. It comes from within us. You see, it comes inside and it takes residence and it makes itself at home. It's like that commercial with the Mucinex. You know, have you seen the commercial? They have that ugly looking critter that's supposed to be the snot, I guess you can say. The little snot monster that you want to get rid of. Well, that's what sin is. Sin is like that nasty little critter that when it gets inside of you, it takes up residence and it takes up a place inside our heart. And if you don't rebuke that sin that's in your life and you don't rebuke that mindset, then guess what happens? Eventually you fall into the temptation. That's what God warned Cain, isn't it? When Cain was upset and he looked and he saw that God looked at his brother Abel's sacrifice favorably, Cain was upset. And God came to Cain and he said, "Why are you downcast? What are you upset about?" You know, in that conversation, I don't see Cain's response. I don't hear Cain's response in that whole conversation. When I've read that time and time again, I don't hear Cain's response. He never confesses it, but God knows it. And that's the thing we have to realize is, though we've never acted upon these temptations that are there, God knows what's in our heart. God knows what's in our mind. And though we may have never done it, we have thought about it. And sometimes just the mere thought of it, and how that thought consumes us, and how it tears us apart inside and out, it eventually destroys us and separates us from God. And God wants us to get rid of it and to get it out and understand that we don't need to even think about sin. Paul says it best when he says, "You have died to your sinful nature. You have died. You're no longer under that sin. Don't let it control you." And when God, going back to the conversation with Cain, God says to Cain, "Sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is to master you, but you must master it. You must overcome it." How do you overcome it? Well, if it's that nasty little mucus booger, yeah, I said it, booger. Yeah, sorry. If it's that little nasty muse, you get some Mucinex and you get rid of it. Well, how do you get rid of sin? James deals with that in James chapter 5. He says, "Confess your sins one to another and receive the." And when you confess your sins to one another, you understand the concept here. Hey, God already knows my sin, so who am I really hiding it from? The truth is, you're only trying to hide it from yourself, because God already knows. And He wants you to let it go, but the more you hide it, the more you try to conceal it, the more you try to say, "Oh, it's not an issue, it's not a problem, it's not. The more you do that, the more you have only tried to hide it from yourself. But if you confess it to another and you receive the rebuke, then guess what? Then you receive the punishment and you're embarrassed by it. When I was a freshman in college, I became addicted to pornography. I was exposed to it by my mom's boyfriend at the time. I had visited him. I had visited with my mom, and they lived in Cocoa Beach, and I lived in Kissimmee. And I would go visit them on the weekends periodically. And I remember one night they had just gotten a new laptop computer, and I was sitting down on the laptop playing a jet game, and it was pretty cool. It was like a little jet simulator, and it was pretty neat. Next thing I know, my mom's boyfriend, Don, comes up, and he says, "Hey, let me show you something else." And he starts showing me all these different websites and all, and I'm like, "I don't want to see this stuff." He kept showing him. I was like, "No, get this stuff away from me." But then he said, "Hey, I bet you could probably break into one of these, couldn't you? I bet you could," because I had fixed his computer a few times before. He says, I bet you could probably get into one of these without paying. I bet you could do that, couldn't you?" And the challenge was there, and, you know, a typical young man who didn't know any better said, "Yeah, I could do that." Each website I went to, the images, the stuff that was there just saturated my mind and in my heart. And it consumed me. I became a youth minister, and I struggled with that. I even went as far as going to Best Buy. And I went to Best Buy and I said, "Hey, I filled out a credit application for a computer. They gave me credit, but they didn't give me enough, so I didn't get a computer." So I was like, "Oh, okay." But then Gateway Computers was right there. And so I went to Gateway Computer, and they said, yeah, we'll finance you. And it'll be, you know, it'll be no problem. You can go out, we can get you a computer today. So I did. I financed it, and $4,500. I knew I didn't have it. I didn't think I ever have. I financed it. And I allowed myself into that world all my own. And I struggled with it time and time again. I struggled with it. And finally, I got to the point where I said, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I allowing this to consume me? Because that's what it does. That's what sin does. It consumes you. You may not, I could justify and say, I never slept with any of these girls. But I lusted after them. Isn't that what Jesus commands me not to do right here? Isn't that what Jesus tells me not to do? The more I gave in, the more I willingly just wanted more and more. Finally, I went and confessed my sins to one of the professors, and he said, "You need to be spanked." What? He says, "You need to be rebuked." You know, the problem with sin is we don't face up to the embarrassment of it. We're not open with it, and it becomes a game for us that we just hide it. And we hide it from everyone, and we think, nobody knows. But it only is, it's hurting you, spiritually and physically. And it was. And I can tell you, I know what's out there. And I know the struggle that I had before, and I know how easy it is for me to get right back into that temptation. And so I put the parameters in place to keep myself from it. After my wife and I got married, we started this conversation a little bit, and I told her about my struggles in the past with it. And I told her how I needed somebody in my life to just be able to openly ask me the hard question. Have you done this? And so I told her, this is what I want you to ask me from time to time. Have you cheated on me? Because that's a slap in the face. And if I'm honest with her, I know the answer, if I've done it, I know the answer is going to be painful for her, and I'm going to have to figure out how to make amends for what the pain I brought into our marriage. And so I have her ask me from time to time, have you cheated on me? Have you looked at this stuff? Have you brought this stuff into our marriage again? And that question is in place in our marriage. Because I want to be honest with her. And I want to be open with her. Because I know what I have been through in the past, and I know that how easy it is to try to hide it. But you're not hiding it. God already knows. That's why He wants us to confess our sins to one another so that we can go through the healing process that we need so that we can overcome the temptation that are there. There are more than just that temptation. You know, I remember listening to a message by Mark Moore. And that message that I listened to is online, and I just don't know which message it is. But in the message, he talked about how he would rather his child be struggling with an addiction to pornography. Now, he doesn't want his child to have any of these temptations, but he's making a point. He said he would rather his child be struggling with an addiction to pornography than an addiction to consumerism. You would think, what? And his point is this: the temptation to pornography is easily condemnable. We can easily say that is a sinful act. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But then the addiction to consumerism, that's the American way, isn't it? Get what you want. You can't afford it, get the credit to get it. Pay it off as you go. And now, of course, you hear the little commercials on the radio from time to time. I know I hear them. You may not have to pay the full amount of your credit card back. What? That means I got all this stuff for free? That's cool. No, that's stealing. That's just justified stealing. You see, there are temptations all around us. And it's easy to compromise. It's easy to say, hey, I don't have a problem with this, but what about this? And Jesus is trying to tell us right here, get rid of the sin that's in your heart. Get rid of the sin that's in your mind. Don't let it fester. Get rid of it. And then he goes on even further, and he, in keeping with the law, he equates adultery and murder. He puts them on the same level. He says, hey, if you commit adultery, you've broken a commandment. And if you break one, you are a lawbreaker. James chapter 2, verse 8 says this. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. We like to say there's levels of sin in our world, isn't there? No, there's no level. You break one, you break them all. Because they're all part of the same, they're all part of the same contract. It's kind of like when you agree on a mortgage that you're going to make the payments. What happens if you miss one or two payments? Well, they have the right to forfeit the contract, don't they? Now, you can call them, ask for grace or forgiveness, and sometimes that comes. But see, when it comes to the law, when you break one, we break them all. But thanks be to God, we have the grace that comes from Jesus Christ that we can overcome that which can consume us. Because like Jesus says right here, in this passage, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. Does he really want us to start maiming our bodies? That's not the point. He's saying get rid of it. Whatever's in your heart, whatever's in your mind, whatever temptations there are in your world, get it out. Don't let it stay. It's not welcome any longer. I remember listening to a sermon one of the elders, the church over there, presented, and it was interesting. And he was talking about how if you were to bring a babysitter into your home, and that babysitter was to start cussing and just saying all kinds of foul language or the babysitter was to bring in and start sleeping with people in your home, what would you do? You'd get rid of it, wouldn't you? You'd be looking for another babysitter. But then he says, what about the TV that we allow in our homes, the shows that we allow ourselves to partake of? They're filled with all kinds of filth and disgusting behaviors. And then we start wondering, what's wrong with our kids? Well, they're feasting themselves on the entertainment of this world. And it's not It's not a good diet. It's filled with all kinds of behavior that is not appropriate. And then we wonder, what's causing all these kids to go crazy and start shooting up schools and bars and all these other things? Well, maybe we should start looking at the entertainment that they're consuming, the example that that's set before them. It's full of trash, and we consume it. We should get rid of it. We should flee the temptations of this world and disconnect ourselves from the standards that are practiced by this world. We are supposed to be a royal priesthood. We are supposed to be holy, set apart by God. And in doing that, we're not supposed to reflect the world. We're supposed to reflect Christ. How do we do that? We feast ourselves on the Word of God. We consume the Word of God instead of consuming the world and all that it has to offer. Look for what God is trying to give us. He has done so much, but we give so little to Him. We are to remove ourselves fully from temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 through 26 says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servants must not quarrel. Instead, we must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." We are to flee the temptations of this world, not to consume it, not to indulge ourselves in it, not to allow it in. Jesus says the eyes are the lamp of the body. If all you bring in is darkness, all that is inside of you is darkness. But he has given us the light, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to purify us, to counsel us, to make us new again, to renew our minds, and to refocus our hearts to the will of God in Christ Jesus. But in order for that to work, we must get the darkness out. How do we do that? Don't be comfortable with the standards of this world any longer. Instead, look to God's standards for your life. Look to glorify God in all that you say and do. Look to be a vessel, an instrument of His grace. Look to be His. You and I are called to be a royal priesthood. You know, it's interesting to watch all the shenanigans, I guess you can say, that are going on in the world today with the royalty. You know, I find it fun, the British royalty I'm talking about, I find it very peculiar how they just want to associate themselves with celebrityism or the celebrities of our culture. You know, it just had that one wedding, who was it, Meghan and Harry.
he's there putting on a show of how they can dress up. And they're not even British.